New Zealand has long been known for its tranquility, good quality of life, and economic freedom. My wife and I visited there some time ago and were struck by the beauty and the peacefulness of that nation. Vera May said that if she could live anywhere other than the United States, she'd choose to live there. As I pen the words to this book, our hearts are breaking with the news that a gunman murdered 50 Muslims at their places of worship in the city of Christchurch. This country, which for many years has been peaceful and safe, is now scarred by ethnic hatred and violence. This sad scene follows closely behind the killing of 11 Jews at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and the murder of a young white woman in Charlottesville, Virginia, who protested the chants of white supremacists as they marched through the streets displaying Nazi symbols. I've lived long enough to not be alarmed by much of anything, but I see something happening in our country and across the world right now that we've got to get a hold of. If we don't, it will destroy us. When I wrote One Blood, Parting Words to the Church on Race and Love, it was in my heart to press upon people to know that there is only one race, the human race, and that every human being is created in the image of God and has dignity and worth. Each individual, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Jewish, Muslim, is created in God's image. With all my heart, I believe that the church is responsible for knowing that truth and modeling it in how we live. One Blood was a paradigm shift. Our behavior showed that we thought there were many races, a black race, a white race, a Hispanic race, an Asian race, and so on. But in truth, there is only one. And we are identical to one another, with the exception of 0.1% of our makeup that accounts for our skin color and physical appearance. This book is the progression of that message. It's the discipleship message that follows after we are saved by the blood of Jesus. How do we live out this new paradigm of oneness? How do we move beyond the boundaries and the walls that have separated us along ethnic, economic, social, and class lines? Is there a healing balm for the sin sickness of ethnic hatred and prejudice? The Apostle John said it most clearly in Scripture. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship, friendship with one another. 1 John 1 verse 7a. My argument is that friendship is the way across and through the lines that have separated us for so long. Friendship is discipleship in action. God calls us into a deep friendship with himself and with all his children that is in sharp contrast to how we talk about friends today. There's been a lot of talk about friendship because of Facebook and the internet. You can collect friends and likes and begin to feel pretty good about yourself, depending on how many you accumulate. Our foundation, the John and Vera May Perkins Foundation, has about 3,500 likes right now, and I suppose that's pretty good. But I'm not sure that's the kind of friendship that is strong enough to carry us through and across the hard lines that have isolated us from each other. I think you can actually have a lot of those kinds of friends and still be lonely, separated, and afraid. Columnist E.J. Dion Jr. tells of a conversation Mark Dunkelman had 20 years ago with his grandfather, a retired salesman. They talked about how to find the